Thank you so much. Choir making a big deal about Jesus in this place today, and good morning to you all. And if you have your Bible, let's open up God's Word. We're in Romans, continuing in Romans, and we find ourselves in chapter 15. Now, something's different here in chapter 15 as we look at verses 14 through 33. What's different is that the mighty Apostle Paul has finished the doctrinal portion of the book of Romans, and it becomes narrative as he wants to share his heart with us. He wants to talk about his dreams. He wants to talk about the future. He wants to reveal his heart. And I hope that today, as we hear him speaking about his vision for his life, his heart for the Lord, and specifically the gospel, it is the gospel of God that changed this man. It's the gospel of God that changed this man. It's the power of the gospel to transform lives. The Apostle Paul knew that the gospel could do something that religion, man-made religion, could never do. All the traditions, the rituals, the opinions of men, the politics of men, the science of men cannot transform a life. And if you're in this room and you've been saved, you know that to be true. It was only the gospel that broke through and changed you, and it did that for me 27 years ago. I had just started dating my wife, and she said, "What has happened to you?" I said, "God has run over me with a truck. I can tell you everything will be different from this day forward. We're going to find a church that teaches the Word of God, the gospel of God, and we will start living for God." So grateful that I found a wife that has that same vision, a vision for the gospel. What is your vision for your life? What are your dreams for your life? Is it centered around the gospel? Mine has become that way. As long as the Lord gives me breath, I desire to live that way. Paul has a gospel-centered vision to preach the gospel of God in places that had not yet heard the gospel. He has an amazing heart for the gospel. And so here in Romans, as we're winding down, the apostle now speaks of his plans to go to Jerusalem, then to go to Rome. He hasn't been there yet. And eventually to go to the ends of the known world. He wanted to go to Spain. So he says this in verse 14. "Now I myself am confident concerning you." He's writing to the Romans. He knows about this church there that really he has started, even though he hadn't been there yet. He's on his way. "I myself am confident concerning you, my brothers," speaking to believers, "that you are full of goodness, that you are filled with all knowledge, you are able to admonish one another because you know God's word. Because you know God's word, you're filled with knowledge, full of goodness, and able to admonish one another." Verse 15, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points, as reminding you, because of the grace of God that has been given to me." Are you, as you sit here today, aware of the grace of God that has been given to you? Apostle Paul was aware of that. It changed his life. He was in touch with those things that God was doing and God had done in his life. He says, "This has happened that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles." God called him to do a certain ministry, and Paul wanted to fulfill that ministry which God gave him. Paul was Jewish, and yet God saved him and said, "You're going to be an apostle to the Gentiles." He said, yes, sir. And he says here that he was a minister. We would think he would use a common word like diakonos, a servant, like a deacon, a servant. But he uses the word liturgon, like liturgy. His priestly ministry was viewed here by Paul as an offering to God in a priestly sense. He wanted to fulfill that role, and he viewed his ministry to Jesus Christ, to the Gentiles, as his priestly service, as an offering to God. And he says here, ministering the gospel of God. Gospel means good news. God's good news was entrusted as a treasure to Paul, and he wanted to serve the Gentiles. God wants us to serve our families, our circle of touch, ministering the gospel, the good news of God, because it's the gospel that has the power to change a life. The gospel is the power of God to transform a heart. And so Paul was just like a stuck record everywhere he went, preaching the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection. And in our world today, there are over 4,000 religions. Some have approximated 4,200 religions in the world, but there is only one empty tomb. Right? Lots of religions, one empty tomb. And that tells us where it all points to. The cross of Christ, the empty tomb of Christ. I love this church because it always remembers the cross of Christ and the empty tomb. This is a special place. We talk about the gospel of God. Paul was ministering the gospel of God to the Gentiles, and Gentiles were being saved, and he referred to that as his ministry as an offering to the Lord. See how he says that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified and set apart by the Holy Spirit. It won't be long, beloved, we'll be on the other side. We're going to stand before the Lord and see the work of the gospel that God worked through us here at Richland Creek. How sweet that is. And so we stay focused on the main thing. Now, he thinks about this offering to God and those who are being saved, and he says, therefore, I have reason to glory. I have reason to boast, but only in Jesus Christ. We live in a day where man likes to boast in his own accomplishments, likes to pat himself on the back, say cute little clever things that somehow pat him on the back. And we're reminded, as Paul reminds us here, it's not about us, it's about Jesus. I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus, the things which pertain to God and the gospel of God. I will not dare to speak of any of those things that Christ has not accomplished. I'm only going to boast in the things that Christ has accomplished. That Christ has accomplished in me as he made himself available. He says here that Christ has accomplished these things in word and in deed to make the Gentiles obedient, that is, that they would be set apart and walk with God, turning from the world and living for God, walking with the Lord. This happened in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. We long to see the power of the Spirit of God moving in our lives. And he said that this happened so that Jerusalem, where it all began, the power of God, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and he starts seeing the gospel is now spreading and the Word of God is doing its work, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, Paul says, I have begun to do what God called me to do. He says, in those regions, I have fully preached the gospel of God. Wow. He wasn't going to shrink back from fulfilling what God told him to do. I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. The gospel of God, the gospel of Christ. We're going to see before Romans is done, he's going to say, my gospel, in a way of saying that he's embraced it.
It's our gospel. It's the gospel of God and the gospel of Christ. He had fully preached the gospel. But there's something about Paul and how he preached, and should I say where he preached the gospel of God. Paul was not determined to simply preach the gospel of God to the same people all the time. In America, it seems awkward that we spend all of our time and resources preaching to the same people who are just stubbornly ignoring it, while the majority of the world hasn't yet responded. 29% of the world hasn't even heard or have access to the gospel. So look what he says in verse 20, and this is something that I think is a key verse for us. As we set our sights on the heartbeat of God, he says, "And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, where he had already been proclaimed, but Paul had a heart to take the gospel where the gospel had not yet been preached. He said, lest I should build on another man's foundation." Paul was a trailblazer for the gospel. He wasn't going to just stay in Jerusalem and preach the gospel. He was taking the gospel to unreached peoples, just as it is written, verse 21. And he quotes from Isaiah. He says, "To whom Christ, to whom he was not announced, they shall see. And to those who have not heard, they shall understand." Paul wanted to be a fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. Paul had a vision for the gospel. He had a heart to take the gospel in new places that had not heard. Paul had a dream that was sacrificial. It was hard. It was going to cost him. It was going to push him way outside of his comfort zone. And how about you? This is God's desire, the Great Commission, to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. As Jesus would say in Acts chapter 1, that this gospel is going to go from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. That is his marching orders to us as the church, to fulfill this Great Commission. So Paul goes on and he says, "For this reason I also have been much hindered from coming to you. There was difficulties and obstacles. There always will be. We must overcome the obstacles. We must get out of our own way. Listen to the voice of God. Walk in obedience to the voice of God. We understand that Satan does not like the spread of the gospel. And yet that is our mission. The spread of the gospel. The gospel of God." He says, "But now, no longer having a place in these parts," and there he is in Corinth, and he's saying here that I've done the work of bringing the gospel, I have brought the gospel to these regions, "and no longer having a place in these parts, and having a great desire." May God give each one of us that same great desire to see the gospel spread. Careful, in America, we get distracted by so many things. He said, "I have a great desire for these many years to come to you in Rome whenever I journey to Spain." And I wonder if we just kind of stop for a second and our jaws drop. Wait a second. It seemed like Rome was a destination. If he could get from Jerusalem and all the areas of his missionary journeys and eventually get to Rome. Paul had his sights set long past Rome. Rome, the church, was there. It was being established. He wanted to come alongside and strengthen it, write a letter that would build the firm foundation of sound doctrine in Rome. But Spain? People had heard of Spain, but the thought of actually going to this place, now this is 1,400 years before Christopher Columbus would sail the ocean blue, right? It was a long time before Christopher Columbus. Spain was the end of the known world, basically, at that time. Paul's writing saying, I have a great desire to come to you whenever I journey to Spain. Whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you, for I hope to see you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I hope to see you someday. I want to see you. I want to encourage you and be encouraged by you on my journey. He says, watch this, and to be helped on my way as I'm passing through. I'm passing through, and I hope that you can help me. He was looking for some spiritual encouragement, but also some financial support so that he would be able to make it to Spain. Rome was going to be a launching point for the gospel. Rome, with all of its roads that would shoot out. If we could reach Rome, the gospel would spread. He was very strategic as the Lord led him. I hope to be helped by you on my way as I go to Spain. If first I may enjoy your company for a while, and we enjoy the fellowship of the saints. Did Paul ever make it to Spain? We don't know. We see here very clearly it was his dream, it was his heart to take the gospel there. I know some say, yes, he made it. Some say, I don't think he made it. We read the book of Acts and we're not sure. It doesn't give us any thought that he made it to Spain. But in his last days, Paul would speak about how he had run the race. Paul would speak about how he finished his race and finished his course. Some have interpreted that to say he did what he set out to do. Not sure, but it was his goal, it was his heart. And what is your heart? You got your eyes set on that place, the ends of the earth, to help be a part of sending missionaries and sending forces and supplies, or even yourself. It was his heart. What's your vision? What's your dream? What is it? Is it gospel-centered? Is it about the gospel of God? Now listen, we only have a short time on this side of eternity. The Bible says our life is a vapor that lasts for just a little while, and then it's gone. What did we invest in? What was our vision, our dream? Was it in line with the very heartbeat of God to take the gospel of God to the ends of the earth? And Paul expresses his plans here. And we see there he is in Corinth. In Corinth, he says, when I first go, I got to go to Jerusalem first. Look at verse 25. He says, but now, first, I'm going to Jerusalem. Wait, that's the opposite direction. Yeah, but you know, planes, trains, and automobiles, we can get there quick, right? No way. I mean, for Paul to go to Jerusalem without any planes, trains, or automobiles was going to be significant. But all the while, Paul never lost sight of those who have needs. And this really speaks to us. I'm going to Jerusalem first to minister to the saints, to serve the saints. See, it pleased those, the Gentiles in Macedonia and Achaia, to make a certain contribution to the poor. Paul had gone around and received an offering, a financial offering to help the poor among the saints in Jerusalem, to come alongside them, to meet a need that they had. They were believers, and the gospel started there. They were the ones that were spreading the gospel, but they had a need, and Paul says, there was a nice offering. Look at verse 27. It pleased them, those from Macedonia and Achaia. Those who were giving were happy to do it, to bless those who had blessed them with the gospel. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. The Gentiles have a spiritual obligation, really. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of the Jews there in Jerusalem, their spiritual things, the blessings of the gospel and the oracles of God, then the Gentiles' duty, their responsibility, is to also to minister to the Jews in material things. You see how he's connecting it? The spiritual blessings of the gospel went to them. They had an opportunity and a responsibility. They took up an offering, and Paul was going to see to it that it made its way back to Jerusalem. And so he was going to go to Jerusalem first to serve the Jewish people with this offering. He says in verse 28, "Therefore, when I have performed this service in the bringing of this offering to bless the poor saints who have a need in Jerusalem, and when I have sealed this gift, this fruit, to them, then having done that," he expresses his plan, "then I plan to go by way of you in Rome, I plan to go to Spain." He's emphasizing it again. "I hope to get to you in Rome." Acts tells us about what happened to him that derailed his plans or delayed his plans, and how God used that. And as best as Paul could understand, this was the will of God for his life. He said, "I plan to go to see you." Little did he know that he was going to be arrested, thrown in jail, incarcerated on two different occasions there in Rome. Difficulty and chains awaited Paul. He didn't know it all at the time. And we don't know our future perfectly. Paul made it to Rome. "I shall go to you in Rome on my way to Spain. But I know that when I come to you, I shall come to you in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ, full of God's blessing as I come to you." And he says in verse 30, "Now I beg you." That's a mighty apostle Paul. "I beg you. I appeal to you, brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ, through the Lord Jesus and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together, agonize together with me in prayer." Hey, we're all in this together, the gospel of God spreading. We're all in this together, and I ask that you would agonize together with me in prayers. And he's going to say three specific things as he requests prayer to God for himself. He was not ashamed to say, "Pray for me." Verse 31, "Now, first of all, that I may be delivered from those in Judea," that is Jerusalem and the areas around Jerusalem, "pray that I would be delivered from those who do not believe." Because they were chasing after Paul. They wanted to arrest him, have him killed, perhaps. And Paul did not want the gospel work to be hindered, so he said, "Pray for me that I might be delivered from those who do not believe, that would try to thwart the work of God. And secondly, that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that this gift would bless them and help them." Because the gospel is not just proclamation, it's living, caring for one another. And thirdly, he says in verse 32, "that I may come to you in Rome." Pray that I would come to you in Rome with joy by the will of God. God willing, I'm going to be there. He just didn't know it involves shipwrecks and beatings and imprisonment. The Lord knows what is in front of each one of us. The Lord knows. And it's not going to be easy, I promise you. God never promised that it would be easy. He just said, "I'll be with you," right? If you hear somebody telling you, "Follow Christ, it's going to be easy," that's not the gospel of God. "I'm going to come to you by the will of God and be refreshed together." Love that. Christian fellowship. "I want to be refreshed together with you in Rome. Now the God of peace be with you all, and amen."